Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. It is our heart's desire today to put the focus and the spotlight always on the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. We begin our broadcast today with a song by Sister Amy entitled The Lion and the Lamb.
Who is he? Creation trembles at his call.
Died and rose again. Philippians 2. Let's start in verse 8. It says, being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is speaking of Christ. Verse 9 says this, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, the power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is a refuge, a shelter from the storm, a help to those who call. The name of Jesus is a fortress, a saving place to run, a hope unshakable. When we fall, you are the Savior. When we call, you are the answer. There is power in your name. There is power in your name. In the name of Jesus, there is life and healing. Chains are broken. Name of Jesus. You may be seated. We're going to sing When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder.
Oh, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning brings eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
background, you're hearing a piano play, and the young lady playing that piano is named Samantha. The amazing thing about this is Samantha has only had 5 piano lessons, and she's already playing at this level. It's amazing to me. We have a lady in our church, Sister Yvonne, who is our pianist. We have a number of musicians. We're so blessed, but Sister Yvonne is our pianist, and she's taken it on her heart to want to share that wonderful ministry of piano playing with young people, and even adults could learn as well. And she gives piano lessons. If you're interested, you can contact us here at the church. She instructs people in piano. And many are learning and being blessed and enjoying this, and we certainly are being blessed by the music. Thank you, Samantha, new beginning young pianist, only had 5 lessons and already presenting music for the Lord. The next you're going to hear is a saxophone solo of Amazing Grace by a young man named Lane. Lane is in high school, and he plays the saxophone, and he's playing Amazing Grace. We love to hear young adults and then young people and even young children of all ages use their talents for the Lord. And Lane, again, is a young high school man who plays the saxophone very beautifully here playing Amazing Grace. The 33rd Psalm, it's a song of degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 3 says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now this is a very short psalm, 3 verses, 3 short verses. Some of the psalms are very short, like the one we're studying. Some are very long. In fact, it's interesting that the longest chapter in the Bible is in the book of Psalms. It's the 119th Psalm, which has 176 verses in that one chapter. It's interesting that the shortest chapter in the Bible is also in the book of Psalms. Psalms 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible, and it is also said to be the middle chapter of the Bible. Some argue for Psalms 118. Now, I want to tell you that I've not counted all these chapters to verify this, but if you read the sources who have and who claim to have studied this, they will tell you that Psalms 117, some argue for 118. It may, in fact, be both if you had an equal number of chapters on both sides. But it says in Psalms 117, a good middle verse, middle chapter of the Bible, middle chapter, it says, "Oh, praise ye the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." And if that is the middle chapter of the Bible, it certainly would be a good chapter of the Bible. I would say to you, lest you be confused, the middle verse of the Bible would not be in that chapter, because there's a difference between chapters and verses, and chapters have different numbers of verses. So this may be confusing to you, but it would be, I think, factual. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Who in this auditorium knows the shortest verse of the Bible? Let's see your hands. What was it? Jesus wept. And that's John 11:35, which says Jesus wept. I will tell you that in the Greek, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is actually shorter. It has few Greek letters, and that verse says, "Rejoice evermore." And so the two shortest verses in the Bible run the entire gamut of human emotion. Jesus wept, rejoice evermore. The two shortest verses. The middle verse of the Bible is said to be also in Psalms. Now, some of these things are debatable, and some of you may have a different middle verse written down, and I will just tell you that these things are debatable. I've not personally checked them, but it is said that the middle verse of the Bible is Psalms 118:8 of our King James Version of the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence
in man. That's a good verse also. We could say that in Psalms we find the long and the short of it. And when we come to Psalms 133, our text for today, it is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. The preface to this psalm in Psalms 131:1 is a song of degrees of David. This has to do with how many universities he attended and what academic accomplishments that he had made. No. The word degrees here is a word, it means elevation. It means a journey to a higher place. It means a superiority of station or position. It means a climactic progression. It means to go up. It means to stair step. As a musical notation, it probably signaled an increasing intensity that probably ended in a crescendo. In other words, led to a big finish, a good ending. We all like that often in a song. And musically, that's probably what the notation indicated. But spiritually, it is what this chapter is about and what it would do for us. It would take us ever higher and lead us to a big finish in life. You know, the spiritual walk is to be what this word degree signifies. It's to be an elevation. It's to be a journey to a higher place. It's to be moving to a superiority of station, a growth in grace, we might say, a climactic progression, a going up, a stair-stepping. And so that's what this psalm is about. I want to say that in contrast, if you dance to the devil's tunes, they always end in cacophony and discord, and they'll take you down. But if you'll obey the Lord, then His path is always ever upward. Excelsior, the state motto of the University of the State of New York, ever upward. If you serve the Lord, love the Lord, know the Lord, then you're on an upward path. And the unity revealed in these verses creates a rising tide that will float all ships, while disunity, disharmony creates an environment where indeed loose lips sink ships, and I speak of fellowships, church relationships. And so there's a going down if you serve the devil. There's a going up if you serve the Lord. David, who wrote this psalm, experienced the lowest days of his life during times of disunity. Disunity within the kingdom, betrayal, and they sought to kill him. And again, we've studied this in the psalm. But not only that, disunity within his own family and disharmony, it broke his heart. So when David sang this song, it was from the heart and it was to the heart, and it was a special psalm that I believe David wrote, just a little short song like this will be a little short sermon. I want to point out three things out of this psalm. Number one, there's a sweetness in this psalm. There's a sweetness in this psalm. It says in 133:2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head. That's a perfume. It smells good. It's a pleasant fragrance. In verse 1, he called it pleasant. In fact, it's not, Kelly, in your notes, but go back quickly to 133:1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's a sweetness in this psalm. You know, a thing could be pleasant. This says how good and how pleasant. Do you see the words? How good and how pleasant. A thing could be pleasant, but not good. By that I mean, to the carnal sinful nature of man, something might indeed be pleasant and pleasurable, but not good. Not good. You should not do that. That's a temptation of the devil. It is intended to destroy you. So a thing might be pleasant, but not good. A thing might be good, but not pleasant. There are things in life that are good. We do them, but they are not pleasant. But when you find a thing that is both good and pleasant, that is a thing wonderful and truly to be desired. And the psalmist said here, how good, this is good, and how pleasant, it's also pleasant, for brethren to dwell together in unity. A thing to be desired. I preach this message for our nation. I preach it for our church. I preach it for our families. We need desperately a unity that we do not have at this time. We need unity in our nation. We are a house divided. And I want you to know we are the United States of America. And I want you to know an indivisible union. And I want you to understand the importance of unity in a nation. We need unity in a church. We need unity in a family. And I want to say this is a valuable thing. This is an important sermon that I preach. It is a thing to be prized. It is a thing to be protected. Do you know the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 3, endeavoring, that means working at it, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I want to tell you, when God gives a command like that, there's an implication that there's a consequence if you don't obey the command. Unity is something that can be lost. God would not tell us that we're to endeavor to keep it if there were no danger of it being lost. So God is warning us that we must value this. A church can lose its unity. A family can lose its unity. A husband and wife can lose that unity. You can have a union without unity. Did you know that? I used to use this illustration years ago, and some of you old-timers heard me use it. You can take two cats and tie their tail together and throw them across a clothesline, and you've got union, but you don't have unity. Do you understand there's a difference there? And so we need to get back. We have union. We need to have unity. It's a warning that Jesus gave us. We must remember this as a nation. In Mark 3:25, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. We need to pray for unity in our nation. We need to pray that we get back to being the United States of America. Unity comes from the idea of unit. If you check the Hebrew words out, it means, if you did it adverbially, you'd say unitedly. It has to do with a likeness, an all-togetherness. It means to be or become one. It means to be joined. It means to unite. So what does unity have to do with? It simply has to do with being a unit, being united. This is what he said. How good, how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. How powerful and how pleasant it is when the Lord's church is united, one in Christ. How beautiful and how pleasant it is when someone says publicly, I want to officially be a part of this. I want to unite. I want to be a part of this unit. I believe in what you're doing. When a couple becomes married, they become a unit. A decision is made. We are no longer separate. We unite. We are in union. We become a unit, and we are to work together in that way, in unity. Now, there's a sweetness in that. There's something beautiful about that. That's our first point, the sweetness of it. Taste it and see if it's not good. Number two, there's a simplicity in this. We see it from the very first. He says in verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is the good way. This is the pleasant way to do it. Let me thirdly give you this. There's salvation in this verse. Somebody says, there's salvation in this chapter? This is a salvation chapter? Notice in verse 1, a song of degrees, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Then he says in verse 2, it's like. And he does metaphorical analysis. But then he says in verse 3, in continuing that, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion, listen, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. There the Lord commanded the blessing. What was the blessing? Even life forevermore. There's two things here, and you'll have to really get your thinking cap on, but listen. There's a principle evident here. It is as follows. Verse 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, if you get to that point, he then goes into what it's like. And he says, it's like this, it's like this, it's like this. And then he ends it in verse 3 by saying, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Where? The place of unity. Let me tell you when the blessing will come. The place of blessing is the place of unity. You want your home to be blessed? Get in harmony with each other. Get in unity with each other. And there the Lord will command a blessing. A church that wants to be blessed, if we get in harmony with each other, get our hearts right with God and with each other, draw close to God and we'll draw closer to each other, then there the Lord will command a blessing. Pentecost came when they were in one accord in one place and the power of God fell there. Now, that's a spiritual application. You understand that. There's a literal interpretation. Look in verse 3. He says, upon the mountains of Zion, there the Lord commanded the blessing. What was the blessing? Even life forevermore. Upon the mountains of Zion. God says here that the blessing of life forevermore would go forth from the mountains of Zion. Now, Zion, in the Bible, what is Zion? Zion is Jerusalem and the whole area around it. In Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and what's he have? He has salvation. Having salvation. Now, there, in the mountains of Zion, God said where he was going to save the world. God said, I'm going to save the world in the mountains of Zion. It'll be in the mountains of Zion that life evermore will be issued and go forth and be extended to all men if they will come into union with the Redeemer. It was in His union with us on the mountains of Zion, on a mountain called Calvary.
You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.